PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to a milestone episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week for episode 100 plus 100 is my good friend and non-math confidant, J-Man, James Miles. Welcome, buddy.
Even I can do that math, man.
You carry the zeros.
That my 9-year-old taught me. That's 200. That's 200 episodes, dude.
When was the last time you had to put a multiple zeros on a scorecard, or even 1-0?
Oh, I mean, I've had lots of 1-0s with like those 80s that I'm throwing up in 90s that are getting myself in jam. No 90s, but 80s.
I thought we'd get at least 30 minutes in before you'd start complaining or taking a piss about being soft capped. I was gonna say bitching, and then I danced around it. It's your show, man,
and it's your 200th show too. Say bitching.
Can I just say something? I looked it up. 1,448 days ago, Off Course was born. I didn't know what I was doing then. I don't know what I'm doing now. I've been told that some of the shows recently have been very good, which I appreciate the feedback as always. Even if it sucks, please let me know. Our goal is for 200 episodes, pretty much, or at least 150, I would say, is to draw a connection between the industry and the everyday golfer, whether that means education or just sort of normalizing some of these people you see in videos or read in spec sheets or on websites. The goal for me and the passion about this project has been to just draw a connection. And I love it when people talk about it in a positive way. I love it when people come on the social media or on the THP forums and make mention that it allowed them to either think of something in a different light or even just give someone a chance, because I mean, there's so much good product out right now that it's probably hard to land on something when you have so many options. And when you add a little extra one into the mix, I mean, who knows? That could be the unicorn club that everyone's been desperately trying to find. So that has been my pleasure. I'm so grateful for anyone who's willing to listen and give me feedback or talk shit. Honestly, sometimes that helps. The weirdest thing, I think I take it better when someone tells me I sound better at, I think I take it better when someone says negative things about the show than I do when someone says I sound better at 1.5 speed than I do at normal speed. So
I can honestly say I've never. That kind of scares me to think about your voice at 1.5.
1.5, yeah. So I try to talk a little bit slower and deeper to avoid like the whole chipmunks deal.
Put some bass in that voice.
But that's apparently a big thing. Like, there's a lot of content to consume out there. So a lot of people will listen to it at 2x speed, 1.5 speed. And I'm almost afraid to find out what it's like. But anyways.
Let me say 200 episodes of your evolution, by the way. You have evolved tremendously in 200 episodes. You have survived somebody trying to pirate your name. and here we are. Like, you've had me on way too many times, but you brought me back on again, and I'm appreciative for that, especially for this one. It's a big deal, buddy.
Yeah, it's the idea of this show is going to be a bit of a celebratory episode. I don't think we're going to get too deep into the weeds. We might get pissed off about some things that we're both dealing with early in the season. And James isn't drinking, which is terrifying to me. So he might be a little bit more, what's the word? Sharp, maybe?
Sharp. Dang. I don't know whether that's an insult or.
We'll see where it goes. I'm excited, man. I love the idea that it just kind of continues and that 250, 300 is all very realistic at this point. But yeah, 1,450 days ago. Which is pretty funny. I think I still had a shitty driver swing back then.
I was still in my 30s.
That is gross. Yeah, you are an old man. You can't avoid that. So screw it. Let's get into the real issue with the show today. We've made the milestone a backseat for the real story here. I was looking forward to getting mad about this stupid posting nine hole score stuff, which I refused to do the other day. I'm not as mad as you are at the USGA right now. And why is that, James?
It's been a rough emotional, very, very dark week for me and my handicap. Two things occurred. One, I posted a 12 hole score on my handicap, that they proceeded to estimate, because I was like, I could play 12 holes. Let's see what this does. And it was as bad as I thought it would be. And then, you know, one more score goes in. I wake up in the morning and I'm soft capped. So all the times I laughed at you for being soft capped, karma has come around and bit me in the rear, and I am at that good old 50% lock in from my 6.1, which makes me sick to my stomach. But here we are.
6.1. Well, on the plus side,
I guess. Oh, it's not on the plus side. It's nowhere near the plus side.
At least you had some room to go before you hit. So like, when it hit me, I left a season at like plus 2.4. So when I came back, it was like, oh, you're a scratch golfer now and soft cap, way to go. Like, first of all, no, I'm not. I'm not playing at all like a scratch golfer right now. And second of all, man, what a small hill that was to climb. At least you have another couple strokes before you can get it.
You know, but I feel like in your case it's the mind blowing one, because like, they should take into account that, hey, if a plus two has a couple bad rounds or whatever and things fall off, like, it's okay. They're not going to jump to like a six handicap. You were going to level off anyway, but the fact that they like force level you it is what it is. I woke up in the morning and I opened the app and I kind of had a feeling it might happen, because things moved from a three to where I'm at now to 6.1, because I can't shoot in the 70s anymore, apparently. And it was, but seeing that little exclamation point next to my handicap made me really sad. And then I was like, well, Dan's going to laugh really hard, so that's good. And I immediately went and tagged you on the forum.
Yeah. I don't know if I was entertained by it or devastated, because I know the feeling. I see that thread pop up. It's not the thread I'm tagged the most in. I would assume playing out of a divot and someone taking a picture of a divot with their ball in it and tagging me is probably the most common thing on THP.
Definitely.
but I felt more devastation, because it rocks you, man. Anyone who uses their handicap for anything useful other than a barometer of their ability, they feel that deeply.
I mean, yeah, I'm not planning on running my handicap up any higher than it is. Like, this is not happening. No. So we're well on the path of rectifying things. I think I practiced for 4 hours today. So, I'm either going to break it worse or I'm going to fix it. And I've got some travel golf. I've got some club golf. I'm going to take my six handicap into the member guest happily. But we'll see. Like, it's such a weird thing. I don't know. Talking to you about it before and knowing what it is and going through is one thing. And then whenever it happens, you're just like, it's like a piece of you has been taken, even though it's not really that big of a deal, but it just makes me hate the USGA just that much more.
It's not hard to hate the governing bodies of golf right now. And I don't mean mind being a bit hateful about it, because they sort of all have it coming. I mean,
they suck. Wait.
Whether it's the PGA Tour, whether it's GIN, whether it's USGA, whether it's the RNA, they kind of all have picked a couple battles they probably ought not to have fought. And it's putting golfers in a weird place to like hate everything.
I don't disagree with that at all. You know how I feel about it.
And here's the hardest part, James. We're not even in golf season, so golfers are already cranky, right? Like, you get middle winter, end of winter, there's just this little bit of extra edge on everyone. They're just waiting for things to sort of clear. And I feel that a ton. But I want to ask you about this 12 hole score. So what happened?
One of the guys in the forum, Pops, who's a member at my course as well, we play. He got an 8:30 tee time, but I had an appointment. I had to run in and check on my grandma. So I ran into town, and I was, you know, our course, when we're one of the first ones off, he teed off at 8:30. I think I got to him at 9:15 and he'd already played six holes. So like it was empty and we play extremely fast, all of us. So I'm like, well, crap, what do I do? I should just mess around. I'm just going to hit a bunch of balls. And then I was like, wait, I could post a partial score. So let's post a partial score and see what happens. And it helped me get soft capped apparently.
Okay. So you're playing as like a three-ish moving up to a six for 12 holes. What was your score to par?
I had shot a 52 over 12 holes, I believe. That's
too much math, my friend.
I'm just telling you, like, you ask the questions, I'm giving the answers.
For the record, he's looking it up right now, which I love.
I am.
What I want to understand about the...
My God, that's a lot of bogeys.
Yeah, stop. I should say stop looking at it, but we're diving right in here. Emotional James.
So I shot a 43 on the back nine, and I was even par on the three holes I played on the front nine.
Okay. And
it ended up...
What did it do on the other holes you didn't play?
Well, the thing about it is it... Well, it gave me... It put my differential on it at 8.5.
Okay.
But it doesn't... Like, you can... Reading...
So to me, that sounds like it made it better down the stretch for you than worse.
I mean, potentially.
So it doesn't really consider how you're playing on that given day. It considers your handicap to add on those additional scores, which I think is really interesting because I actually played this weekend in the wind and it was gnarly. Like there were times when stock 150 club is a very, very smooth nine for me. And we're hitting sevens and six irons and into that, trying to chip them on. I should say eight irons and seven irons into it, trying to make it happen. So like it was not a small amount of win for Ohio. And the challenge was that everyone was kind of struggling. And the other component to that was the greens were extremely fast from what we've been dealing with. So everyone was adding a little bit extra there. So no one was playing to their potential. Everything was high. So I wonder what it does on a day like that where you're absolutely getting blasted by wind and different course conditions. So let's say a six handicap shoots like a 43 on the front as an example. I don't know where I came up with that. And then decides like, hey, screw it. I've had enough of the wind. I don't feel like playing anymore. I would assume it's going to give him a 39 on the back just based on differential, right?
Well, the thing about it is like even in my, I'm on the app right now, so I'm not, but it doesn't show what it gave me.
So
all it tells you is the score was the differential based on the number of holes played and then the expected score differential for the holes not played.
That's so weird. And I want to add something else to this because there is no way you can add in it was windy to make it consider a score for you. But you also can't add in, I mean, I had two horns in my backswing and doubled those holes. Otherwise, I was playing great golf. Like, there is no way to factor any of that in. Mm-hmm. So the ability to, number one, recover, or number two, continue playing terrible golf does not exist when you post these scores at nine.
Well, and part of my thing is I expected when it ran through and it registered into my revision scores for it to tell me, and I know it gives me the yeah, I don't know. It's a whole strange thing. Now you've got me flustered, dang it.
That's good. We're just getting started then, if that's the case. And you're sober.
Hey.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. So you're soft capped, you're posting 12 hole scores, you barely play any golf anymore, based on what I'm understanding here. You take up pickleball or something?
I can book pickleball times from my country club app now. I'm that bougie. But oh, no, man. I would like to keep my ACLs, MCLs, PCLs, and Achilles intact.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I had a chance to play golf with the kiddo. I know he gets mentioned on the show a couple of times. Can I do a little brag moment?
Well, yeah.
Okay, so Cal, the monster, my now eight-year-old, was sort of finishing 2023 in decent shape. Like, he was finding a little bit of speed, some power, recognizing that the smoother you go at it, the better, and really starting to pump the ball. So he gets out there, first round, we played nine holes with my dad on the weekend, and right out of the gate, because he's played basketball all winter, playing some baseball with the boys in the yard, and he goes and just puts all his might into the first six holes, just everything he's got into every swing. I'm like, hey, let's get back on this. Like, golf is a game of finesse story. And let's let the power sneak in. You know what I mean? And from there on, he was just roping the ball. That's awesome. So they have a junior tee set up on my course. He hit it on a green he's never hit from before from the tee. He had, you know, the eighth hole of my course, and I'll tell everyone listening, there are bunkers guarding the front, and the junior tee is right around 100 yards from the middle of the green. And he flew with one hop, hit the green on the fly, one hopped into the bunker behind the green, and he didn't know what to do with himself. He's like, I don't know whether to be mad or happy or, and man, it's just, I am so excited for this year. Like, him being into golf has added such a weird dynamic for me, because it's always been about me and the boys. And now it's like, dude, I kind of rather want to see what he does, you know?
There you go. Well, it's not going to be long. He's going to be beating both of us. So
let's be careful. So he's got grandpa to beat first, Papa. Then he's got mom to beat, because I've been, you know, fighting her off for years.
Well,
now.
Mom's the best golfer in the family anyway.
Settle down. And then Uncle James, and then Daddy. Well, Uncle James soft capped is not really James. So.
I'm not even a threat anymore.
But long story short, man, it was exciting, dude. I love seeing the progression of golfers year over year, but it's been a totally different experience watching my son do it. And I'll tell you what, other than the fact that he gets a little bit of emotion out there, which frankly runs in the family. For clarity, man, I can't wait to see how it progresses this year. It's really exciting, and the golf course is in good shape. So, I mean,
when is the golf course not in good shape?
Yeah,
you're picky. Stop it. It's the O.
So they're going to be aerating here in a couple weeks. So ours
just got done. I feel that
it'll be incoming. Yeah. But yeah, I think we actually have new ownership, which is pretty exciting. It sounds like it's a group of owners who have been buying up other courses and making it like a full on corporate thing. So that's, I think, the idea that we're not just a couple guys for owners just searching for a buck with one property. I think having, you know, a whole gaggle of properties all collecting money is probably better. So
I have a question for that.
Yeah, what's up?
Are they going to allow you to bring your own breath work? So, dude, episode, we have to rehash all the things.
Okay, so backing up, if anyone's fairly new to the show or is listening for the first time, pick a better one. This is, you know, this is
chaos
episode number 200. So long story short is the stupidity of my golf club. And yes, I'm saying that. And honestly, I know members listen. They're probably laughing at me because why do I care? They do not allow personal push carts on the golf course. You have to rent one of their shitty Sun Mountain carts. And the only reason why they're not good is because they've been used so many times that it's a push cart, man. What do you think is going to happen to it? So with the new ownership, I'm really hoping they come around, but I'll tell you what, dude, I think I'm entering my lazy years. I love the idea of like carts on the fairway. I'm really looking forward to some of that. So yeah, we'll see. I don't know. The nice thing about, although Cal carried his bag. No, he didn't. He rode with Papa. He was planning to carry. The idea of shoving his clubs into my bag and just letting him roll is really appealing to me, even though they don't charge for kids under 13 at my course. So that's just me being wanting to keep the $13 of cart fees for nine to myself.
There you go. There you go.
We got cards to buy, man. Tops. Tops Sapphire is not cheap.
Gosh.
Yeah. Anyways, so it's been kind of a, I think if you had talked to me last week, I probably would have been a bit more cranky. But yeah, we had a real sight of good weather golf this past weekend, which was amazing. It was windy, and you know my feelings about wind. But man, it felt good to be out there and warm and not cold and loose and not stiff. Even though we didn't spend much time in the range, it checked all the boxes, man. And I'm used to
you. Old You're so old now. You sound like an old.
Yeah. I'm used to you bragging to me about all the golf you played before I can. So I'm sort of taking this in while I've got it. You're playing golf in tornadoes lately. So,
Yeah, that's a touchy subject.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're recording on Wednesday and not Tuesday or Monday. So, all right. So Soft Cap James is going to last about a week and a half. I think you'll be back in pretty prime form here soon, which is the only reason why I'm poking fun at you, because otherwise it'd be probably more of like an emotional support system. I'd send you like a 10-year hug.
I mean, well, we're going to see each other here in about a week, so it could be really happy or it could be really bad.
Really huggy. No spoons. Okay, so soft capped, 9-hole scores. Dude, we've got lots of interesting things to talk about, and I only say it because it's been a while since you've been on. And the interesting thing about James's lifestyle in golf, I'll say, is that you have the freedom and experience to test out a great many things for THP. An excellent staff writer on the homepage. If you're looking for some great feedback on product, go check him out there. He also posts on the THP forum, usually tormenting people, but mostly providing great knowledge on golf clubs. So. I couldn't be too nice. But I think the interesting part about this start of the season, or the start of most seasons, is there is so much good equipment to experience. Once you do, it's really hard to lock in, because then there's always something else that's fascinating to try. And I'll give you an example. I've got a couple different wedge products that are in the bag or been in and around the bag, couple different iron products that are in the bag or around the bag. And both of them, like, man, I would love to spend the next umpteen months just ripping these irons or ripping these wedges, or using this shaft, I think is another really good example. Cause at least with shafts, same head, you get a little consistency there. So what's it been like for you? Like 2024 started off hot, or have you been pretty locked in?
It depends on which part of the bag we're talking about. Right now in wedges, I'm on this yeoman's journey of trying to figure out exactly what I want to do. And I mean, it's to the point now also of like that. I started a thread on our forum about this of playing different branded wedges in the bag. Like, and that's kind of where I am, because like, you know, me in a lob wedge, I really like a full face wedge. And there's some really good options with Cleveland and some of that stuff in there. But then in the others, I don't. So it was like, can I let myself play two different brands of wedges in the bag? And then you move into irons, and there's about four different sets right now that I could easily put in the bag and play. And if you don't make me review anything else, or I don't have anything else on the docket, I could just be as happy as can be. But then they're all there. So it creates this internal dilemma. The safest thing in my bag has been driver. And that was just because for me so far this year, one has been above all the others in ball speed, and I'm 40 now. So I just chase ball speed apparently above all else.
Like 140.
Oh yeah. You know, that would go with my soft cap six.
What driver is it?
It's Dark Speed LS from Cobra. The AI smoke triple diamond was real close, and it is real close. And I still hit it constantly in the sim that I've got in the garage, but the Cobra has been, pun intended, the king as far as ball speed goes. And it's been nice. And plus they released a deep face driver, which, you know, me, for all these years that we've known each other, I am the weirdo that really, really, really likes a very deep face driver.
You had me at weirdo. That's man. What I love about this year, and I've not yet had a chance to hit Dark Speed yet. Again, I will most certainly do it in a couple weeks. I feel like there's a small hint at an almost unintentional resurgence from Cobra this year. It's not to say that the last couple products have been bad by any stretch. We've had awesome reviews from THPers who have had the chance to do the Morgan Cup as an example. But it's almost like that Dark Speed conversation feels a lot more like that F9 conversation was doing. Like there was that, and then a little bit more after it that really gives you a sense that something else is happening.
I think that's a really, I think it's a great comparison actually. Yeah. And I hadn't really thought of it that way, but the interesting thing for us is like, I get a lot of what is going on our forum and we get the community feedback. There's also, I've gotten to know a couple of the different fitters in some of the PGA superstores and club champions around here and everything else and what's going on and elsewhere outside the state too, guys that we've just met over the years in the industry that I trust their feedback from, and every one of them to a person, whenever it comes to dark speed, usually better, stronger swingers. It's usually always the LS is the conversation, which will make our buddy Jeremy mad, but
never heard of him.
Yeah. But it's doing things that I've wanted to see from Cobra in a driver, but not only that, it's like voodoo. If you flip the weight to the back and now it plays almost as forgiving as the X, which it shouldn't in a player's driver, it shouldn't, but then it just, I don't know, man. It checks almost all the boxes, and they did it in their way, but not as brash as we've seen in the past. That's not even the best word for it, but they're all quietly confident about it. Like at the PGA show, there's a quiet confidence, and to see Cobra like that, that's pretty cool because it's not forcing anything. They're just putting it out there saying, we know what it is. Now go find out.
Okay. I will give like a soft tease that there are a number of potential interviews coming up on the show that will accommodate discussions like this. Maybe one or two of them are a bit more surprising than the others, but stay tuned for some really exciting stuff there. I think as long as we can get schedules aligned, that'll be very exciting. Dark speed though, man. I'm surprised I haven't hit it yet, but I have had a little bit of I've had a little bit of a driver saga over the last couple of years. But I will tell you, I would say the biggest improvement over the last 2 years was made probably 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
To the point where I'd probably be willing to hit someone else's driver again.
That's and, big.
And not be apologetic. even though like you, but yeah, anyways, long story short, it's going a fairly impressive distance again. I'm covering, even if it's not in the right direction, some distances I don't remember doing. There's a connection in my swing that I haven't had for a while that I look forward to talking about once I have it really refined. Dude, I would love to have a swing coach on here. I think
that would be killer.
Would be super interesting. Or maybe a psychiatrist. We'll see how the next month goes and we'll decide who I need more.
Why not both?
Why not both at the same time? Yeah. But yeah, so to that end, it's actually been a really great start to the year for me. Because it takes a while usually to find power. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest reasons why is because I'm tired of just not being there. You know, I'm tired of my body hurting from doing so many things wrong or right to recover from doing one or two things wrong. I need to get back to that. And this, again, I have no time. I'm running out of time. My kid's going to start beating me. The day he out drives me is probably going to be worse. Dark speed, super interesting, dude. I've not really necessarily gone along with the last couple, but I've not gone along with any drivers. So it's hard for me to be like, okay, I'm like totally throwing those out the gate. But I remember being so emotionally invested in F9 mm-hmm. that like anyone who would be willing to hit it would hit the club on my back. Thank God they had that like sort of what was it called? The F9 didn't have the whole pop-up protector on it, did it? That was the year before. Mm-hmm. So I guess I got lucky there. But you know, the idea of a driver coming out again that I'm almost encouraging people like hit this because you haven't hit this to give yourself a chance to hit it. I think that's really cool. It's good to hear from them.
Well, and that's what most of the people I've encountered and around here and friends and whatever else, that's actually what I've told a lot of them is like, you need to hit it. And to me, that's one of the highest praises you can give a company on a release, whether it fits me or not. Like when there's a product where I'm like, you need to hit this, Like somebody needs to, you need to at least hit it and see what goes with it. And especially for them to be doing it amidst all this 10K stories and all the other stuff. I really like, because it's just kind of down and dirty. It's Yags and the crew just kind of letting loose and they're just smiling about it. And I appreciate that. I mean, that's not belittling any other driver. I could play almost every OEM's driver and do it pretty happily right now. And we, you and I have talked umpteen times over the 1,400 and whatever days, of your shows. Okay. So I was close. You're impressed. I got the first two numbers.
Not bad.
But we've talked about it before. Like, man, the drivers, they're all just really good. And here we are in this year. And it's a lot of the same stuff. I mean, they're just good. And I know there's some people that want to bellyache about marketing and everything else with it, but I don't believe it. I believe companies are just on their game right now. And sure, there's marketing. Of course, there's marketing. There's marketing in everything. There's marketing in the underwear you're wearing right now. Like, we have to have marketing. But I think the industry, as from an equipment side of things, is in a really good spot for the most part. There's a couple of them that befuddle me, but that's okay.
Joey Pouch, man. Two under. Sponsorship ready.
Yes.
Little underwear joke. Anyways, the 10K thing is really interesting to me, and part of bringing driver back around is I really want to experience that differentiator for myself, because when my best years in driving were so long ago, all I can think about is, man, I could easily turn the ball over. I could easily do these things. And now it's like these heads are so big and they're so forgiving. Like I feel like I have a hard time really shutting that head down. And part of that 10K story, I think, falls on that. It's almost to a fault kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward. I think probably mid-year we jump back on and have a conversation about that so I can actually dive into it. Because right now it's still sort of holding on for dear life and seeing what happens. And maybe I have some more guys. I know Josh and I have talked about it a little bit in the past. Come on and really discuss. I think it'd be cool to have someone who designs product come on and say, what happens when you go over the edge or too far on a concept? Whether it's, I think a really good example is SLDR back in the day. Mm-hmm. It's crazy low and it was crazy forward and it did exactly what you thought it would.
Yep.
When you hit it on the button. The challenge there was everywhere else.
I mean, that's a good, like, because that one, yeah, it's still maybe one of the fastest drivers ever, but you go to that extreme, but you go to the other extreme where you want to put mass as far as you can, then you end up with a square driver.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting conversation because I do really feel like there's a lot more nuance that designers go through that people, consumers, be it on our community or listening to the podcast or whatever else, they don't really grasp how much goes into a freaking gram. Like
also styling.
Because then they have to not only get the weight right, but you also have to get the shape right. You have to get the look right. It's such a tightrope thing, man, that some people say it's a cop-out. It's really not. Like, the fact that they balance these things as well as they do within these teams, these different OEMs, is pretty cool.
Well, one of the things I love is how deeply invested that Cobra has been in the term aero over the last umpteen releases. They will not drop that from their storyline. Every year I see a release from them, I get to see that sort of visual with the wind tunnel stuff going on, showcasing the benefits of their driver head. And when you see other companies start to refer to aero, because I mean, ball speed, swing speed, club head speed all reflects, or I guess club head speed plus swing speed, like that, those all contribute to additional yards. And when you see other companies start to talk about it, and Cobra's like, yeah, see, you look back five releases and understand why they're so deeply invested in that storyline. And like, is this really only marketing, or have they genuinely put their best foot forward with aero considered? Mm-hmm. You know, what if they overdid it that year on forgiveness or on MOI, like MOI or ball speed, and gave up the aero? Would it be the same driver head you had? And at that point, is that still just marketing? Well, golfers will realize it's not.
Yeah. Well, that's why I appreciate consistency. Like, I appreciate some form of consistency in what you're doing. That doesn't mean you have to implement the same thing over and over again. You can change it. But like, if this has been a linchpin to your designs, tell me why you've changed it. And that's something that they have always done really well. They've done really well with the dark speed this year. In the LS in particular, the fact that, you know, I got the 9-degree head, and when I was at the show, Yagley and those guys are like, no, you need to hit the 8-degree head. It's faster than the 9. It's like, well, what do you mean it's faster? Well, it's got a completely different aerodynamic. And lo and behold, of course, I buy it in the airport security line. It's faster. So like, I love the science behind it. It's likewise with Callaway, with the changing of jailbreak. Like, that jailbreak has been the pivotal design feature, right? Well, now we've kind of gone away from it because we've figured out how to do that in the face, but they've told the story still. The tech is still there. The principle and the ideologies are still there. And I appreciate that. I don't care for whenever a company just starts throwing random stuff at it and trying to catch the next trendy thing. And there's a couple that do that. And more power to you. But to me, that's when the marketing versus design thing really comes into play.
I love the idea that jailbreak keeps coming up, because I think a lot of detractors use that as a negative to say, like, oh, you said jailbreak was always here to stay. I'm like, but if you do something that does what jailbreak did, but better, and retains some of that mass property that you can put elsewhere, is it good or is it bad? Because you're not ignoring what you jailbreak did. You're refining it.
Yep. And you're telling us the story, because jailbreak was the premise for what came from that.
Oh, dude, I could talk about this nonsense for hours.
Oh, you know how I am. This is my wheelhouse. So
is there a ball you've landed on for this year yet?
Well,
did it screw with you last week when I had Volvic on to tell their story? And you're like, I'm totally in on X manufacturer. Then Volvic's like, oh, hey, by the way, we're pretty good too.
Well, so I got to hang out with him at the PGA show.
Yeah.
And we got to talk about it. And there was a lot of questions about, you know, us and our review processes and everything else. And I learned more about Volvic than I mean, I was like you. You realize just what they are, and it's not just colored golf balls. So I will say I have bought some Condor X's. I found a really good deal on my Chrome Tours, which has been for me the best ball overall for what I'm trying to do in my game now, because I'm trying to become a more precise golfer, believe it or not. And so that one's kind of checked those boxes. But then I went and did the Ping Ballnamic. Have you ever done Ballnamic?
I would bet when it first came out.
You wouldn't pay for it, would you? You wouldn't.
I don't. Was it always a pay for?
I can't remember if the whole thing.
I could have sworn we did it at one point.
I think last year at some point I wanted to check it again, and you get like 3 runs through for it for whatever it is. And okay. And last year it nailed it. It was Chrome Soft X, which is the ball that I have loved more than any other. So this week they added 4 new balls to it, including Volvic, Wilson, a lot of these different golf balls. And so I was like, well, I'll run it again. And Chrome Soft X is down the list a little further. And right at the top is the Wilson staff model, which kind of threw me for a loop. And then a Bridgestone BX, which I expected. So I've got a few. I've got a few of those coming now. So no, I have not just landed on a golf ball completely yet, Dan. Although if I'm being honest, Chrome Tour will probably be it, and probably in the True Track. I am absolutely obsessed with True Track, and I hated True Viz, but for whatever reason, you make those things red and blue, and they just, especially over putting, like it's a really good thing. So I lean that way. That's a long-winded answer for what you gave me, but that's what I do, right?
It's good enough. I accept it. Now we need a little bit of silence now for everyone to digest the nonsense that just came out of your mouth.
He bought how many golf balls?
Yeah, like, I think everyone's checking off. All right, so he bought this, he bought that. He was probably drinking beers when he bought that. do you know what I did find out the other day? I am not a blue golf ball guy.
I'm shocked.
So there's a story. Yes, there's always a story. So when we find colored golf balls on the golf course, naturally they go into my bag to give to Cal, because colored balls are cool. I really am enjoying the time in his life where that's what makes him happy, and not like ends in V1 or ends in Chrome. Anyways, so we found a blue golf ball, and it was the windy day I was telling you about earlier. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple shots where I didn't quite hit my best shot, and I was like, oh, I'll hit another one here, see what happens. And I swear, when that blue ball goes airborne, it's like it gets deleted.
It's gone.
It's like deleted, and whatever is in the background gets deleted too. And you spend a bunch of time just trying to find it, and it's even worse when it lands. I was okay with it, mostly because my playing partners were getting really angry when I hit it because they didn't like to watch it. But I think it was like a max fly or something like that. And I want to circle on this because I think there's an interesting story to talk about here. And something you present on the forum is the colored golf ball craze, and or specifically the yellow golf ball craze. Why it hasn't really taken off? So with this whole blue golf ball story, I'm starting to wonder if the yellow golf ball you've been referring to on the THP forums is getting sort of lumped in with everything else. It's no longer that it's yellow versus white versus orange versus red versus blue. It's white versus every version of colored ball possible. And they get sort of lumped into that.
Well, I mean, that's kind of, you mentioned that I started a thread on our forum, and I did, and the responses have been very interesting, just like I knew they would be, because what you just said was my whole root thing with it. It wasn't that the yellow ball won on tour. That's cool. We've seen it happen here and there, but it was the fact of why hasn't yellow taken hold more? And for me, I even look at myself, like, I love playing a yellow golf ball, but I never play a yellow golf ball. Why do I always look at it and go, I could buy the yellow, or I'll just buy the white? And I think that whole lumping all of the different color golf balls in together, I think that's the why. I think when it was simpler, there was a more prudent thought around it all of, yeah, we had some orange golf balls, right, back when we were younger, and then there was yellow and there was white, and the yellow versus white thing on tour kind of always became a thing. But now we have black golf balls. We have all these other ones. We have paint splatter golf balls. We have so many different things. I'm pretty sure one of the companies makes green golf balls. And
so like lime green, like a greenish, like,
yeah, no, I think I know there's a lime green one, but I'm pretty sure Vice makes like a green golf ball. It may have been an April Fool's joke one year or something, but I had kids show up at high school practices with the black Vice golf balls before. And I'm like, no, no, we're not doing this because we're never going to find them. We're going to spend hours. But I think that's a fair point. I think, because what's so wrong with the yellow golf ball? It's different. You know my feelings on that whenever it comes to golf and change and tradition and everything else. And I get irritated. I've even come around to joggers because tradition irritates me so much. So I think that's a big aspect of it. Plus, I brought it up on the forum. It was like, how many people associate yellow golf balls with range balls?
Yeah, I made that comment as well, but I did it in a bit of a different way that I don't really change my mentality looking down at a range ball, but maybe it's because I'm on the range looking at a range ball that I present that understanding that it's a range ball and not a real ball. I will tell you that there have been many times where I've dropped down one of either like a dark blue or a red or like one of the crazier colors, mm-hmm. Just because they happen to be in my bag and I'm just grabbing an extra ball to hit it. And I never seem to hit those as well or as focused as I would on a typical white ball. But I remember playing Srixon back in the day, the Z-Star, and doing okay with them. I don't think it was monumental, but it was definitely mental.
Well, I think that's why, like, for me, the Z-Star Divides, I actually really, really like.
So
because there is that there is that half, like, I don't know, man. I don't know why.
Before you go too deep in this, because they did do the Z-Star with the half white, half yellow, which is kind of rad. Which is a big step away from their Q-Star Tour divide, which is it's a more visual thing there. But what I'm curious about is, what's more challenging for you, to hit something like a Truvis that looks like a soccer ball, or hit something like a yellow ball? What would be easier for you to hit?
Man, I think now it would be easier for me to hit the Truvis.
So that's really curious. And then we start to look at things like Triple Track or the full circular one. We just had Volvic on. They have a fully circular.
They've got a 360 one, yeah.
Sorry, 360 ball. There are so picks from TaylorMade. There are so many. The Speckle one you mentioned from Vice, like I thought about that immediately. Those are all a little bit easier mentally to comprehend than this colorful golf ball.
That is an interesting,
encompassing thing. But in reality, there should not be a huge perspective of change because many of the companies are doing it in the right ways. They're not altering the performance benefits of it, whether it's a net neutral, depending on the design, or whether it's baked in via dye, whatever it might be. Some of them use like the actual core itself or the layers themselves. There's a lot of different ways to go about it. And there's definitely not the ways they did in the past. It probably didn't allow the ball to perform in the same sort of way. So I think we're going to see it continue to change in a sort of who cares kind of way. And I think balls like Truvis are going to lead the way into that.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, I was really outspoken against Truvis for my game whenever it was just the red Truvis, you know, the red soccer. Like, and then they came out with the yellow ball with the black ones, and I'm like, oh, my mind. But now as it's evolved, and they're doing better of telling the story behind them, like with TrueTrack now, there is a vernier acuity science story behind it. So I buy into that more. But I think, man, it's interesting. It's something.
But you can also track, right? Like they have new Truvis that have an alignment benefit to it. I remember the USA Truvis they came out with, which is like really visually appealing. I think just these non-blocks as they are really add benefits. Like they are one of our favorite tournaments with the Oasis, the experiences or Oasis, geez, with THB is the Granddaddy. And everyone knows the Granddaddy G very well. Well, if they come out with a Granddaddy G Truvis, everyone's going to play it. It's fine. Yep. You know, like we've seen that from time to time. So it's not necessarily that we are, I think our goal is to just connect the dots. And as we slowly separate ourselves from white, there's a chance that we can start making our way into other colors as well. And I would bet you, James, as these companies continue to support color in premium golf balls, whether it's Pro V1, whether it's Chrome Tour, whether it's, Bridgestone Tour B, even Wilson, like they, all these balls at a premium level, which should generate a premium tier of performance, should start to allow players to be willing to sort of go one or the other as opposed to one or one and the other as opposed to one or the other.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're exactly right with the premium ball thing. I mean, Titleist bringing a yellow Pro V was, I don't think people realize how big of a deal that was to show that it, like, it's a thing. Like, this is here, and we're acknowledging it. And that makes all the difference in the world. Yeah, because we're not talking about, you know, some of these nitros and everything else anymore that are yellow, or the old yellow Wilson SpongeBob golf balls or anything else like that. Like, these are premium golf balls that are not just sprayed with a layer of paint on the outside of them, internet. I'm sorry.
Well, Malnati used as a Pro V1, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember he went in the bunker on 18. And I'll be honest with you, man, I've not watched a lot of tour golf, but I tend to catch the end of tournaments at the very best, at the very least. And he hit in the bunker on the 18th, and they did a big zoom into the ball. And honestly, I'm sitting here at this very same chair looking up at the TV and went, oh yeah, it's a Pro V1. It's a yellow ball. Like, the perspective is so stupid. Like, of course he's using a tour level golf ball, but my dumb brain goes, it's still there. It's a Pro V1.
I mean, that's the root of it all. And that was my whole point with starting the conversation. In the end, we're weird as golfers. Like, we just are. The pros are the most superstitious people on the planet. They grew up with a white golf ball. They're going to play a white golf ball. For the rest of us, it's easier to adapt, but for whatever reason, we're weird. And some of us adapt easier than others. Some of us ridicule others for adapting, all the things that go with it. In the end, options are always good, right? And the options are getting better and better for yellow golf balls.
What do you think is the next big thing in golf to expand? We've had, in the last couple of seasons, we've seen pants change. We've seen shorts change. We've seen balls change. We've seen the perspective on graphite change a little bit. You've seen the perspective on a bunch of things change. What do you think is the next big thing to change in golf?
Boy, I don't even know now. I don't know what they're going to do. Whatever it is, it's going to involve the USGA and the R&A getting involved in changing something is what my fear is. My fear is it's not going to be an R&D thing. It's going to be a, hey, you have to change that thing. Example, like I just reviewed a wedge company, Smithworks, that make a non-conforming version and a conforming version. And the conforming version spun more because on full swings with higher impact. And companies that talk to you and I about it, like they've worked around the groove rule by now. They've surpassed the groove rule. The groove rule does not limit these companies anymore at all. And so like my fear is because of things like that, that these agencies are going to get involved again. And I mean, probably driver head size. I think that's coming. I think 460 is going to get put on the chopping block within the next 3 or 4 years.
Good.
I mean, I could play a mini driver. You know me. I'm weirdo like that. So,
yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens as well. I don't know. I would love to see us change our mind on the whole shorts thing. Like, let's make them a little bit longer again, because I'm not really looking to see man thigh all year. That's not really something that appeals to me.
change my wardrobe for next week.
Yeah, thank you for that. Appreciate it. At least you can probably tan those thighs. No one will. You know what happened? Okay, so last thought for the episode, and maybe I put this on the show or not. So I love I've been Adidas Ultimate for forever for pants and shorts, and then I bought some Travis Matthew. I think like the Right On Times. I've got a bunch of pairs of those. Love those. And then I got into these Red Vanley pants, which are super nice. Pointlessly expensive. Let's be clear. Definitely pointlessly expensive, but I really like them. And I thought like, maybe I should try their shorts. And it just so happens that my course is a dealer, but they only sell their shorts, and they had a pair on sale. And I was like, okay, oh, cool. I'll go try these on. And I put them on, and my buddy who's plays with me every weekend walks into the locker room where I'm trying them on and goes, no. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, no, you're not. You cannot. The inseam is so freaking short, and I'm tall, so it's just like 6 months of never seen the sun, man leg thigh, just hanging out. And like, no one wants to see that. I don't understand the appeal. I'd rather wear pants.
That's fantastic.
I got heckled for something he loves to do. He wears short, stupid shorts constantly, and the second I put a pair on, which I agree with looked absolutely stupid, he heckled me. So yeah, I need, listen, shorts companies, give us like a can't tan inseam. Okay,
just label it that.
Not like Canadan, can't a tan seam. Just so I can like, I think it would make most people I play with play worse though, because they'd be so wrapped up in how horrible it looks.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, what a way to close out 200 episodes. That's tragic. You want to start over?
I mean, sure.
All right, 200B. Episode 200B. James, I appreciate you, buddy. I'm glad you're here. Dude,
thank you for having me on, man. It's for real. 200 episodes is a big dang deal. I'm proud of you.
It took a while, yeah. Maybe we'll go to 2 weeks so we can speed up on 500. It's taking too long.
Pick up the pace.
You're going to be like 50 here soon. I got to get it closed in. Oh,
God.
all jokes aside, I hope you had fun in this sort of heckly, bantery, nonsense episode driving the 2004 season into form a little bit. James has always been a great guest on the show, and it's super fun to just sort of chew through some of the things we see in the industry and see more from like the consumer side, because as much as we do have a connection, we are still looking at it from the same way that most people would, aside from seeing a lot more of it, I suppose you could say. But I do really need to just take a second to thank everyone for tuning in. There are folks who have never missed an episode, and I don't understand why, but I do genuinely appreciate it. Hearing that kind of stuff fuels me and allows me to continue to maintain that this is a true active quest of passion, if you will. it keeps me connected with the game, and it keeps, I hope, you guys connected with these guys in the industry who are genuinely great people, who have a story to tell and are pretty damn funny and fun to be around when you give them a chance to open up and not just have to talk product. And you can tell that a lot of people love to just chill and share some of the knowledge they've generated. And again, I think more of that's coming. We've got some really cool stuff set up. We've got a big year on THP. If you're not on the forum, you really should check it out. If your wives want to send me gift cards as thanks for you no longer having to talk to them about golf and now talk to us about golf, I'm happy to receive them digitally, of course. But yeah, it's the place to be. It's safer than socials. it's almost as fun as your local foursome. And it's just truly a genuinely decent group of people, this large community of golfers who are all in it for each other and for the love of the game. So James, my guy, final thoughts, questions, episode 200 in the books.
Hey, well done. And here's to many, many more. That's all I got.
200, 300, 1,000.
No, you're 300. That's weak. Come on.
Is it more? Like that's 500. That's
way more. And your name's going to get stolen at least 4 more times.
That'd be cool. We should change it up. No, too old for that. I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah. Later, man.
Hey, if you guys are golfing this weekend, have a great time. I'm going to try and play. It's going to be kind of cold, maybe sucky, maybe a little bit waterlogged, but I'm going to make it work because there's lots of product to hit and I don't suck as much this year. So we're going to keep working on that piece of it. And I will talk to you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.